The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. I'm your host, Alex Trace, and back again for episode 17. Yes, 17 of the challenge, Spies, Lies, Allies. I got my other host here with me, Lauren Pratt. Lauren, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. It's been an interesting season, I have to say. Started on a real, real high, and now I'm almost to the point where I can't wait for it to be over because it's been dragging on way too long. I think anyone that watched last night could have just, the episode could have been 30 minutes, point blank period.
Oh, way to steal the lines I send you when I'm texting you about my thoughts on the episode. Don't steal my material.
Well, realistically speaking, it could have been 20 minutes how it used to be back in the day.
No, what it realistically could have been was an email.
Well, that's true too.
Like everything that this was an episode where you go, not every episode needs to be 90 minutes. They were dragging every part of this episode out. So it was so thin, it was invisible how much they pulled it. Luckily next week should be a good episode. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get a night of eliminations and most likely the beginning portion of the final with obviously like a cliffhanger for probably if someone is to be removed from the final, you know, like Fessia and Casey, they'll probably have like the cliffhanger in there.
Right.
So and I'm looking forward to those.
I am too, but like my whole issue with this is why does the season have to be so many episodes? They don't need to drag it out. They can literally they could have done this. They could have put this in another episode and that would have been a fine 90-minute episode because this did not hold up. You can't give us little to no content. We got some, but not enough to carry an entire episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so all the viewers, don't be surprised that this may be the shortest podcast of the season. just as a fair warning that, like, because let's be real, not a lot happened. So we start with the previously on. It's Sapphire team holding the money from the last daily. You know, is what it is. So we'll move. We're moving. We get big workout montage after Emmy. Emmy did have the funny line of no cold showers for the rest of my life with CT immediately going. Oh, what do you mean? Nelson's got a cold bath waiting for you tomorrow morning. I like that. I like the humor in there. They have good rapport.
They do. I will say about this episode, I'm not going to shit on the entire episode. Some people had some really great one-liners and that was entertaining. But my whole problem is I love the challenge. I love seeing the competitors and what they're able to do. But I just don't need the season to be dragged out this long because then you lose viewers, in my opinion, because people are saying, what did I just sit there and watch for? And then sometimes I think their biggest thing is everyone starts out really enjoying the season and then you get a little bit of that lull and then it picks back up again and then right before the final we have a couple episodes that are just not that entertaining.
Well, you get that in every show though. Like it was a boring episode, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the episode,
right?
But you get that with every show has a big opening number, then it decreases at the midway point. People come back to see what's going on. It decreases. It comes into finale time. It increases again. So like, that's just the cycle of television. So unfortunately they also know that. So it doesn't need to be the most, you know, shock value and all that. But we get a lot of the pre-challenge or pre-mission is a lot of retrospective on a lot of these people thinking about the final being closed, what it means for them, who they think wants them to be there and not. And so we start with CT. And obviously CT, it's one of those confessionals where we hear the production person ask the question, like, oh, who do you think wants to see you in the final? And CT very honestly goes like, nobody. Come on. None of these guys want me there at the final. They know I'll win. So, but what are you going to do about it? And as we've seen this season, the answer is they'll do nothing about it.
He's right. And the thing is, I wouldn't want to compete against CT in a final. Absolutely not. But no one has even remotely thought about taking the shot at CT to remove him from the game. Yes, if you call CT down into an elimination, does he have a really strong chance of beating you? 100%. But there, CT is not the best at every single elimination. He's not the best at every single daily. Well, today, he most certainly was the best one out there, and we will get there. But in general, if people are scared to go against CT in the final, at least take a shot and just don't let him coast all the way there. And he very well knows that some people are just scared to go up against him. And, you know, hey, it works for him. And he might come away with this season yet again with a boatload of cash.
Not might. He is. I'm just saying it now. He's won the season. He's already, the money's already counted for. It's in his, it's just ready for someone to click the button to send the direct deposit over. Like, let's be real. You can even tell just based on the edit of this episode, they show him calling his family like, oh, do you guys want me to come home? Or do you want me to win another million for you guys? Like, you have him talking to his son, CJ. And like, he's like really feeling himself in this moment. Wearing the same sweatshirt as me, by the way. But it's his to lose. Like, if he's at the final, there's no reason why a viewer shouldn't think CT's winning. You know, so like now he gets to have this moment where he gets to finally have back-to-back challenge wins for the first time in his challenge career, stacks his portfolio. Like, really, this end game, it's like if we want to compare it to sports, it's so weird because like, you don't expect someone at CT's age, and if you compare it to major sports, to still be getting better. It feels like he's only been improving his game. Like, is he the absolute tank that he was when he was in his 20s? No, but he's not anything to sneeze at. Like, he's still a powerhouse, but mentally stronger. Like, his fights aren't getting to the levels of, oh, I'm going to split your skull open and eat your brains, like, type of thing. In my opinion, it's just like, these people need to realize, if you're going to let him to the end, get to the end. If you're a guy competitor, you're just saying, we're okay not winning another final to you, CT.
There's no one really I could even slightly, from the guy's side, even make a case that can beat CT in a final, because CT has seen it all. Some of these people have never even made a final, so they don't even know what all of that will entail. And I guarantee that this final is going to be as intense and maybe even more intense than the ones we've seen recently. So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens with the final in place. And then you also have to look at figuring out if they're going to be doing that pairing where they're going to run one leg with somebody and then mix and mingle. It's all going to come down to basically who CT splitting the money with. Because I don't think it's going to come down to just one singular winner and that one person gets the full million.
Sure they made it pretty clear that it's a guy and a girl winning, or at least I thought that's what the case was at the beginning. Maybe it's just because it was in pairs. I just made the assumption that it was going to be one guy and one girl winner. They split whatever the prize money is, 50-50.
And it might be that, but like, let's be clear. This season started in August, so I can't really remember all the way back there to know if it's going to be a guy or girl winner. And we're in December now. It's just crazy how long it has been. And we used to have Matt on the podcast. Matt Bischoff used to be podcasting about the challenge with us.
Yeah, it's crazy. We got a full Survivor season in as well by the time this season ends. And it didn't even start the same time. Like, they had a full month head start. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're 17 weeks in. So, and I'm sure for them, it felt like 17 weeks, including the quarantine, even though it wasn't 17 weeks. Like, it's been long time for them, too. But we then get Tori and Emmanuel are talking about what you would do if you won the money, or like if you win the final, like what would you be doing? And Emmanuel's like, I would like to move to America. Never been to the U.S. Move to L.A. I want to be a professional dancer. It makes sense to go to L.A. That's where the dance scene is really big. You know, good for him to have a plan. Like, there's so many other, like, that, at least that's like a focused plan. And also, like, that help repay his mom's debts so that she can go back to Romania. We don't know where she is, but apparently she's not in Romania.
No, we don't know where she's at. And then the thing about Emmanuel is he's driven, in my opinion. He kind of knows what he wants mm-hmm. to do moving forward with his life. Now, do I think he has a shot in hell at winning this season? Absolutely not. But I will say at least it's good to hear people's backgrounds, where they came from, and their story. And that's what I do appreciate about these shows. We're getting storyline here. We're getting to actually know about these people. I don't like watching seasons or shows where I know nothing about them and they just get to the end of the game and we just don't know who they are as an individual. We might know who they are as a character, but we don't know them outside of the game.
And that's all always been like a little bit of a weak point in more recent seasons of The Challenge, especially with the rookies. Like, we know Emmy as a character and we know that she wants to be a singer. So we at least have some sort of background with her. Logan and Emmanuel, up to this point, we really didn't know much about, other than Logan wanted to buy a surfboard and win. And Emmanuel wanted to win, and he's doing it for his family and that he's willing to hook up with anything that moves. Let's be real. That's essentially what Emmanuel's challenge is. He is fast and he will hook up with you. Like, that's,
and he,
like,
wants to suck your blood, though. That's also
no. Oh yeah, and his gimmick is that he's actually a vampire. But I think Emmanuel has potential. It's just that, and so does Logan. Logan also has potential, at least as a competitor. But they need to learn how to do American reality television, which it's a lot to ask for someone who doesn't live in the U.S. to understand how to be entertaining for an American audience, and understand how to be in front of the camera but be a character, but also be yourself at the same time. Like, it's like you need to be you at 150% instead of just you at 100. We're on Johnny Fairplay's platform. Like, Johnny isn't always 100% of the time the person that you were seeing on Pearl Islands. Like, mm-hmm. it was him amping up and being a character, but also still being himself. Like, so it's providing entertainment. He's there. Both of them aren't really providing entertainment for me because they're very soft-spoken, very low monotone voice. Like, and there's like a cockiness to them but at least Logan has proven it on a couple occasions, where it's like, even in this one, I'm not impressed by Emmanuel's elimination win, but we're not going to bury, like, we know Emmanuel won the elimination, but we'll get to that point and talk about it when we get there. But it's just, I see the potential in a lot of these people, but they're just not hitting for me right now.
And I get that. I think sometimes too, we also have to look at the fact that the vets essentially dominated this game and pretty much took out every single one of the rookies. So of course we weren't going to get that much information about them, but when we have, I think it has been compelling. But just the problem is they made it this far into the challenge season, and this is the time where we're starting to learn a little bit of information about them, and we're in episode 17. And so that's what my point is. It makes it really difficult as a viewer if we're not getting that storyline and they make it this far, because there has to be something interesting about them because they were selected to be on the show for a reason. Now, I get it. We have had duds, and those duds have clearly never been asked back. But I do still think both of these two have potential to do something in the future because they are great competitors. Now, I will say between the two, if I'm picking who they would probably ask back first, it would be Emmanuel because of that storyline of him and Tori. If Tori's on a season, they're going to have them on there one way or another because of that storyline from a previous season. Logan's main issue is he had the big T thing at the beginning, but that fizzled out. And I think him with Big T gave him more screen time. When he was no longer with Big T, his screen time diminished.
Right. And that's what you have to give, like, it's weird saying it, but like you give props to Emmanuel for understanding, like, oh, if I hook up with someone, it will get me screen time or give me more avenues to be more than just a one season hit, you know? So good on him for figuring out and picking the right people, like trying to hook up with Michelle and then hooking up with Tori, like big names. So, you know, you hit the mark well. And if we look at it under the radar, Emmanuel's playing a good game, but it's also a lot of circumstance involved with it. So, like, I don't agree with the veterans who are saying, like, oh, Emmanuel's playing this amazing top tier political game. I'm like, he's been safe for the majority of the game because of he's on a group that wins. It's not, and like, not all the time it's because of him. It would be like because of Casey and because of Devin and because of Josh. And it was like, it wasn't really, he was the sole reason why they were winning. So I don't give him the full credit for being safe that whole time. It's just circumstance of being, Devin told him to join his group, you know?
I mean, smart on Devin, because that cell has done phenomenal most of the season. Not today, though.
No. But yeah, so back to that conversation. We then also hear Tori's side. And, you know, as I've been saying, I was never a Tori hater. It was more so a bit, but it was also because of my lack of interest in Anissa. And it sort of plagued Tori because they were always linked together. They do the podcast together. And I'm like, I think Tori would be so much better without Anissa, and I think we're seeing that in this season. And you hear these confessionals, and you know what? I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I'm pulling for her. I was like, she, in the last year, she did have the engagement to Jordan, but they broke it up. And you know what? Breakups are hard. Like, they thought it would be amicable. It really hasn't been. And she just wants to be able to prove to herself, like, I can be a champion and like a fixture in this game. And I'm a strong woman, and I can prove to myself that I can climb out any hole. Like, no hole is too deep for me to be able to climb up of and get back to where I believe I should be. And you know, those are very good professionals from her. It gives some viewers a rooting interest. I know there's a lot of people that are very anti-Tory, so they probably like were throwing up listening to it. But you know, you gotta give her props.
I actually think Tori is someone that has potential to for sure win one of these challenges in the future, because she knows what it takes to train for it, first of all. And she does very, very well typically when she's on a season. It's just, she just hasn't gotten to the point where she has gotten that win yet. And I do think she is the type of person that it will come for her, because she's that determined to get there. You see some people that say they want it, but in her, I can tell she wants it, just the way that she talks about it. And I do think she will get to the point where she does indeed get that win. And going back to her kind of partnership with Anissa, we see so many times that when someone loses someone they're close to, they in turn end up thriving, because they were able to separate that link that they were chained with somebody and have a new resource now to reach out, get closer to other people. Because it is really difficult playing that closely with somebody, especially if your minds don't always line up, because then you're always having to consider, what are they thinking? What am I thinking? We have to find a common ground. Whereas you can ultimately just play for yourself. Yes, she's connected with Emmanuel, but we hear her in this episode saying, I love you, but I'm doing this for me.
Right. And yeah, that's respectable. And like, and I agree with your point about when you lose someone, you can end up playing a better game. Like, you could say a person that comes to my mind, and it comes to the mind a lot because I just like the man, it's Leroy. And it would be like the season where Johnny Bananas would go out early, and Leroy would find new avenues and would get farther in the game, because no longer is he looked at as like Bananas' lapdog. It's now, it's Leroy, not, oh, it's Bananas' number one. And then so we then get into a conversation about the guys minus CT, talking about how like it's most likely gonna be a guy's day coming up. Kyle wants to repay many times that Devin has helped try to protect him in this game. So he's like, if I get into power, I will do what I can to make sure you're at least not the house vote. Like, that's the most, or the headquarters vote, but like, that's the most he can do. So it's a lot of guys like sort of preparing for the idea of having to go down into the male elimination, even though they're all like, we do need to get CT out, but like, how are we gonna get him out? But it was like starting out, it was making it feel like, oh, is Devin gonna go in? Like, it's like, there was probably, they felt like they were trying to set up this whole episode as if Devin was the one who was going to end up going down or get picked to go into elimination.
Yeah, that's what the editors want you to believe, is that there's other options that could potentially go down there and other people that might have to in turn compete. What I will say is Devin politically has set himself up in a good spot with having those key relationships, because you hear, as you just mentioned, Kyle saying, I want to repay the favor to Devin for what Devin's done for me in this game. And that's just Devin being smarter and figuring out that's his strength. He knows what his weaknesses are and he knows what his strengths are. And if you're able to be self-aware to know that, and that's so important in a challenge game, because he knows he's not the best competitor, but he knows that if he can outsmart and be in a strong alliance and get himself where he needs to go, then he's set up pretty well, because I don't actually think he was highly considered to go in at all today.
No, I think his strategy of like making everyone feel so good with him and feeling like he's the reason why they're being protected is a very big factor in why he wasn't one called down between himself and Emmanuel by Logan. So there's that. And like, it's knowing how people's minds work. Like, Logan's someone who for the most part wants to not, he wants to be a man of his word, unless like feeling like there's a way that he can have an out. And he didn't really have an out in that situation. And he feels like Devin has protected him. So he's like, I have to pick Emmanuel. We didn't have a deal. So it is what it is. But yeah, so that sort of drives us up to the mission, other than Nelson is talking with Logan. And Nelson's like, I want to trust Logan. I want to believe he'll be rocking with us still, even if one of us goes in elimination and wins. But I've been betrayed so many times. I trust to a fault. Like, you know, some, and we see that throughout the episode, so I'm sort of just highlighting it now so that we don't have to keep coming back to it. But it's like, it's good self-awareness on Nelson's part. Like, I want to trust, like, every part of me wants to be trusting, but I need to not hype myself up into thinking there's no chance he would pick me.
Yeah, and Nelson's been burned in the past, so he knows how it works. You might feel super comfortable with somebody, and we've seen it happen to him, where he ultimately trusts so much and then just gets burned out of nowhere and just doesn't even remotely see it coming. So the fact that he's able to mentally prepare himself, okay, this could happen, but I hope it doesn't, and I hope people stick to their word.
Right. And that's what it is. So now it's time for the mission. It's dead drop. You're on a water platform, or a platform over the water. It's a gauntlet. On one end of the gauntlet, there are 10 top secret capsules. The objective is to get through the like obstacles while people are throwing bombs, quote unquote, at you. Retrieve the capsule, bring it back, and put it in your box in the starting side. If for whatever reason that capsule drops, it's dead. If you drop while you have the capsule, it's dead. If you drop without a capsule, you can climb up and do it again. But the team that has the most capsules in the quickest amount of time wins. I liked the daily. I thought it was a very fun one. It reminded me of more old school challenges that they would do. And also like some Survivor challenges from back in the day. I like this because it requires a lot of balance, strategy, and just like quick wit.
I liked it as well. And you could tell too, the people that were throwing the bombs, they were having a little bit of fun with it as well. It was just a fun daily to watch as a viewer. And you clearly can see who has balance and who doesn't, and who is also just ready to not even try and decide to just jump in the water and not give a damn at all. But I will say, I actually was surprised with Emmy. I thought Emmy was gonna do better than she did.
She hates the heights. She hates water.
I know she hates the heights and that she hates water, but in terms of being able to balance and maneuver herself across, I thought she was gonna at least be able to do that.
You can't really do that if your head's already out of the game, and her head was out of the game from jump. She didn't want to fall and hurt herself and all that. And the height part scares her. It scares Kyle. Like, but so let's go straight into it. So we have Sapphire, or I should just say CT, because CT was the only one who was able to do anything. Yep. And like, he sort of also gave the other teams, like, here's what you can do if like you're good at it. And it's just like, I feel if you're good at balance and you're bigger and you're good at balance, like that's the best you can be, because like people with a build more like a CT or a Devin, if as long as you're good at balance and you have that size to help like maneuver your weight, when the balls hit you, you're able to more so like just absorb it without really moving because you're heavier, you know. So
right. It's harder to knock them off.
Right. So he was able to take the hits and also hold on to like the ropes and like hold the bombs for himself to maneuver and make sure he hits the platform. CT ends up getting 7 of the 10 capsules. Kyle dropped 2. Emmy dropped 1, I want to say. But it was literally just the CT show, and everyone, the other two cells are just like, what the hell? Is there anything this guy can't do? He's just an animal.
He is, and he straight up dominated from start to finish. And I think his bigger frustration came from Kyle, because Kyle really wants to work with CT and run a final with CT, but CT's sitting there saying to himself, Kyle can't even do some of the simple things.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't be upset about this specific challenge with Kyle and Emmy, because this isn't a challenge you will ever see in the final.
And you're right about that. You're
they don't do right. heights challenges. Like, the only heights thing they'll ever do really on a final is jump out of a plane. And like Kyle says, he has no problem doing that. Because like, yeah, at least you have the parachute. So it's like there's safety in your mind with jumping like that. Whereas with this challenge, like Kyle said, water hits differently when you land, and you need to hit it just right or you could really hurt yourself. So there's like a paranoia in that, and when you're paranoid, it does make you a weaker player. But it's so Sapphire does really well despite 2 of the 3 people not able to do it. CT gets 7. Crazy. Then so now it's Ruby's turn, and Ruby sucked ass. Logan was able to get 2. They only get 2. Tori and Nelson get beaten up a ton. I loved Amanda the first time Tori takes like a face shot, and she's like, yes, she took it to the face. I hope she dies. Oh, well, maybe not die, but you know what? Good. She face planted into the water. Yeah.
She was basically like, okay, die's a little bit too far, but everything else I said, it's relevant. That's exactly how I wanted to have it happen.
And also Amanda was like, looks of the episode, Amanda in confessional, Amanda in that orange dress at their like dinner. Like, she was serving tonight. She was definitely taking the Ashley role for, I bet, for Johnny.
Probably. You'll have to ask Johnny his take on that when we cover Challenge All-Stars.
Yeah, if he sees the episode in time, we can definitely talk about it. But yeah, so Ruby does not do well. So really now it's just, will Emerald get enough capsules, and or will they get the same and do it in a quicker fashion?
Pause though real quick. Who was Nelson blaming for not performing well on Ruby for this one?
I don't think we had a moment where he actually said blame.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
I'm going to get to it because the count continues. Emerald is now up. They're the last group to go. And surprisingly, Emmanuel's not doing really well at this. Like, you would think, being the dancer that he is and that you see he's just lean muscle, it's like you would think he would have no issue keeping his balance. I think the issue was a combination of things. They went last. So there's already water on the balance beam part of it that they have to maneuver. So you can't really get a solid footing. Then the second part is, I just think he was thinking, oh, if I just go really fast, they won't have a chance to hit me, without thinking about the delicacy of the balance side, because he's just assuming he'll have perfect balance. And it bites him at the beginning. Like, he was dropping a lot. Like, he figured it out towards the end. But, like, I think him not knowing how to do it at the beginning cost Emerald the win.
Well, and I also want to add another point, too, is I think there's always an advantage and a disadvantage to going first and last. Because the advantage of, like, going last is you get to see how everyone does. But as you said, there was water on there and everything. But I also want to add, you also have that anticipation. You're waiting until it's your turn and you're having to think about it more and more. I'm going to have to go across this. I'm going to probably face plant somewhere in the water. So I almost think I would prefer to go first, get it out of the way. So then you don't get fearful for the ones that are scared to maybe get injured going into the water. So it's really hit or miss with where you do actually end up getting selected to go in these dailies.
Right. And so the girls aren't doing well either at the beginning. Amanda and Nani essentially both say, like, it's smarter for us to not even try and get the capsule, because since we're like, they're the smaller ones mm-hmm. on there, and they're gonna have a hard time doing the balancing to begin with. Once they get hit, you're going to lose a capsule. So it, like, it makes more sense to just jump off and let the people on your team who can actually maneuver the course and be able to have a chance to come back with the capsule go. So I feel like that's just
real quick question. Do we know that every, so could they just have the same person keep going time and time again?
We kept seeing CT go back to back.
But my question with that is, I know we saw that just like based on what we're seeing from the editor's perspective. My thing is, I would almost say that everyone has to keep going and you have to go in a particular order, or they have to jump in the water if they decide not to go.
Well, like, and that's possible. That's what was happening, but we just didn't see that because that's not conducted or conducive television.
Right. You know? I was just curious, like, kind of how it was laid out to them as competitors.
I don't know.
I also think that can somewhat factor into it as well, because as we could see, Amanda couldn't even get up the ladder. So if that was a rule where you had to go in a rotation and she couldn't even get up there, I'd want to know how that even came into play.
Well, I feel like it's probably one of those things where like everyone had to go at least once and then it didn't really matter as much. But we don't know. Maybe someone can tell us. But yeah, so eventually Devin's the first one to secure the first few. Then Casey starts to get the hang of it. She's able to get a couple, and Emmanuel was able to at least secure and ensure that they got to seven. Mm-hmm. But it took them such a long time to get to that spot. Like, they dropped consistently, whereas CT and being less numbers actually came to a benefit in this challenge when you have someone as strong as CT in your group, because then he was able to do it a lot faster and kept going because he was never dropping, whereas Emerald had to deal with a lot of people dropping.
It took them longer to get across as well. So yes. CT was mostly flying through the course, whereas the other ones that, yes, they were making it there, but they were taking so much time to get back and forth.
Yeah. So Sapphire wins the tiebreaker based off time. So they are now the agency. At CT, what he believes, and I'm assuming they wouldn't have put it in there if it was incorrect, his 55th daily challenge win of his challenge career. You know, he's been there for like 1,000 seasons, so it makes sense. But to put it in perspective, that was his 55th daily win. This is, or ever, like, not consecutive, but ever. This mm-hmm. is Nelson's 51st straight daily loss.
Yes.
So, just some fun numbers for everyone. I love you, Nelson, but like, come on, man, break the streak.
How many seasons has Nelson been on? Because CT's been on 19, right?
I think he's been on like seven,
is
eight.
He on seven or eight? I think he might be the seven, eight range or something.
I think around the same as Kyle, and Kyle's at seven.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. But hey, if people's bodies are able to hold up where you can keep doing it, and that's the way you're making your money, make your money.
I'm jealous. I wish that I could be doing that. If you told me all I had to do was like get paid to do the challenge, and when I'm not on the challenge, just work out. Oh, and maybe like do my other stuff like podcasts and stuff like that. Please, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would, but you know, you had to be on television for a while in order to get onto the challenge.
Fresh Meat says hello.
Fresh Meat was a long time ago.
I know. I'm just saying.
I would be intrigued to see them do another Fresh Meat season just to see what would happen, because it has been so long.
They're essentially doing it right now, just but with international people. Because they're essentially fresh meat for U.S. audience.
Right, but they've been on other reality television shows or been on something or well known for something to get on the season, whereas fresh meat, they weren't known at all before getting on.
Right. Well, getting back to the plot.
I know. I took us on a sidetrack.
Yep. Sapphire wins, and we will discuss the fallout of that win and everything else that happened probably within like 15 minutes. Let me get back after some words from our sponsors.
Ho, 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 gentlemen! The holidays have come early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their ultra-new, ultra-premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This holiday season, go to manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR for 20% off and free shipping.
Jingle balls to the walls. Fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. Could be Matt Bischoff's. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I'm talking about Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Oh, now, I had a lot of sex when I got back from my last appearance. I literally had sex 8 times in 12 hours. And, I did some damage down there, fellas. I did some serious damage. I had to call my doctor. There was swelling. There was everything else. It was bad. But you know what wasn't bad? My balls, because I shaved them with Manscaped. Oh, there was the lighting at the top of the tree. But the bottom of the tree looked perfect.
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh.
This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers. God bless it. I needed and used that this week. I promise you. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized.
They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. 'Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your neighbor, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Reality NSFW listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
This is Santa Claus talking to you once again. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
We're all trying to eat better. But healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
And we're back, and Kyle's a winner. He's a winner. Y'all are losers, but he's a winner.
Kyle won?
Yeah, he's a winner.
Yes.
He won. He did all the work. He may be one of the best challenge competitors of all time. Well, CT won, but he was there.
Sort of there.
Well, he was there. He fell.
Kind of.
He fell.
He attempted.
Yeah. He was there. He won. He's the winner.
And everyone else was a big fat old loser.
Yep. Yeah. So, but essentially, it's just a bunch of it's just him again talking to Devin, like, I'm going to do what I can to save you, man, but there's a good chance you get called down. And Devin's just like just trying to mentally prepare himself for being called down, but he's still hopeful that he won't be feeling like he played that good game. But we get the fancy dinner. Everyone looked great. It looked like everyone was having a fun time. A lot of laughs were being had. It's just like a good separation from the game for a bit. But then we get into the game talk, and we first have Emerald, and the girls are just saying like, we feel, Emmanuel, that you should be a little bit nervous, but we think both of you will win. Just, like, be prepared, because we just don't think Devin will be the agency's vote. So, Emmanuel's just, like, really hopeful that he's able to still avoid elimination, because maybe he's the chicken after all. Despite what he says when he actually touches the dirt and gets into elimination, he seems extremely terrified about even being considered to go in.
He does. And I think the other hardest thing, too, is going in this close to a final is gut-wrenching for some people, because if they go in and they lose, and it just, you're out there for so long and you think in your mind that you've done so many great things to give yourself a chance to have that opportunity to run the final, and you go home right before it starts. And then that's where you just start to replay. What if I did this? What if I did that? And that's probably really difficult to process. I've never been in that situation before, but I can only imagine how hard it is to know you got so close to something and yet you just didn't have the chance to be able to participate.
Right. Absolutely. Everyone struggles with it. And that's why you even saw the vets during nominations not saying anything. Because everyone realizes where they're at. And they're like, I don't want to make the fucked up decision. And then that fucks up my game. Because I tried to throw someone under the bus. Because of whatever reasons of not giving reasons. It's like, I could still go in or maybe I don't. But like, letting fate up to decide. But we also get Ruby talk. And it's more so like Tori just trying to convince both Nelson and Logan, like, there's a good chance one of you goes down. Win, come back. Like, we have a good three here. We can do well in a final. We may not be doing well in the dailies, but we can do well in a final. But the real question mark that both her and Nelson have is just like, can we still trust Logan? Like, will Logan actually win and come back? Will he not betray Nelson and call Nelson down like he called Corey down? So it's just like a big what if, but that leads us into our nominations. And really the nominations was so frustrating because it was the all four of them being like, oh, please don't put me in, but different ways of doing it. Like Devin's at least made sense. Like Devin was like, hey, like I feel my opinion, I feel like I've helped all three of you. We're friends in this game and outside this game. I would appreciate if you didn't pick me. And for anyone who does get picked, don't think I'm the easy person. Don't think if you call me out, it's an automatic win. And I'm just going to shake your hand and say congrats and good luck at the final. I'm going to give you everything that I have and then some. So I think Devin approached it correctly. He made his, like, you know, the idle threats to everyone, but also was like strategic about not singling any one person out, and also relying on the friendships. Nelson's just like, hey, I'm ready for this. If I do go in, it will be against Devin. And, you know, I have to do what I think I need to do to survive. So he at least puts a target. The rookies played this horribly. Logan don't say a word. Logan just wants to win and get his surfboard. Emmanuel, though, I was just like, if he didn't have Emmy in that agency, I think he was going down for sure. Because I think CT and Kyle probably both really wanted to do Emmanuel, but they respect Emmy and were like, Emmy, we won't touch your friend. Like, if he goes down, it won't be because of us. But like,
right, and I actually think that is the smarter decision to back Emmy in that situation because they actually think that they're all going to be with each other and running that final. Maybe other people are more aware that that's probably not going to happen. And CT and Kyle are very self-aware that if they turned against Emmy, they would get the wrath of it. And you do not want that, especially if you are together as a group that can splinter you so easily.
Yeah.
Because Emmy, as we've talked about before, she's a roller coaster. She's up and down. Some days she has a good day. Some days she has a bad day. You just don't know what you're going to get from her. And my biggest thing with this is Devin pitched a really good case. He had something that he wanted to say. He made it known to everyone, did a great job with that without, as you said, saying any names. Nelson's was fine as well. Like, he's just making his point. But when you get to the rookies and it's just crickets, I mean, I forget who said it. I think it was Amanda. It's $1 million. And the fact that you're just going to sit there and let them decide your fate essentially is what happened. They didn't pitch a case, so then they have no information to go off of. So you can't be upset if you are the one selected to mm-hmm. go in because you didn't give them a reason why not to put you in. And that's exactly where CT's frustration was coming from. He's saying, give me a reason. And Emmanuel's just sitting there and Logan's just sitting there and nothing. And I just don't understand, if you are that close, why you can't even give a reason why they shouldn't put you in.
Well, you could see the fear in both their eyes. And I just didn't like Emmanuel's approach because he basically says it like a threat, where he's like, if Sapphire wanted to make him the headquarters vote, don't. And that's all. That's like all he says. But he says it in a way that's like he's trying to be threatening, but he's not being threatening. And literally, you have Emmy just going like, Emmanuel, give more for them. Like, I'm trying to help you out, which it's more than Emmanuel has done for Emmy, because Emmanuel's way for helping Emmy out was throwing her in elimination four times. So, like, you know what? Maybe Emmy's just a better friend than Emmanuel is, because Emmy still, at least, like, she plays her game more with her emotion, which is perfectly fine. But, like, Emmanuel kept making all these convoluted reasons of, like, oh, because I'm Emmy's friend, I had to throw her in. But, like, we just saw last episode, like, Emmy felt, like, hurt and betrayed by Emmanuel. So I'm sort of surprised she didn't try to, like, return a favor or even, like, talk to CT, be like, hey, if you don't trust Kyle, we could put Emmanuel down there. He either takes out Logan, Nelson, or Devin, because I fully believe that Emmanuel will win, because that's her spirit towards Emmanuel. And then he can take Kyle's spot, and now it's me, Emmanuel, and you running. Or even if that was what CT could think of. And, like, I felt like there were so many avenues where, like, you could have thrown Emmanuel in instead of Logan and still had basically the same result happen.
Well, I think the other biggest problem you look at, too, is that relationship between Emmanuel and Emmy. Emmy, as you just pointed out, felt super, super hurt that Emmanuel didn't have her back. And I will add to this, Emmanuel didn't really have as much say in that group of people as I think Emmy has a little bit more pull with CT and Kyle, because I do actually think CT listens to Emmy and wants her input. Now, CT's still going to do what CT thinks is best for CT, but he's at least allowing Emmy to have a voice and somewhat be heard in certain situations. But it all comes down for me with the fact that I just think Emmy's very, very loyal to her people. Once she gets super connected with somebody, that's her person. And that's what we've seen the entire season with the relationship between her and CT. And that's how she came into the game with Emmanuel. And I got to give her credit. As we said, can have bad days and good days, but she is loyal to her people at the end of the day. Yeah. She wants to see her friends succeed. And I have to appreciate that in a game player.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with Emmy at this point. Like, it's fine. My issue is just, like, also the veterans trying to tout Emmanuel for this high-key political game that we have seen none of, because it's just his high-key political game was, oh, he just so happened to attach himself to Casey, who is the power structure.
Well, like, and also Tori putting him on a pedestal with
by hooking up with him, yeah. And, right. And then, like, Devin telling him, like, join our group. Like, because in my mind, as much as CT is dangerous, when you think about a final, like, Amber won just because she was a good runner and had endurance. What is Emmanuel? Like, we don't know any of Emmanuel's other strengths other than that he has endurance and he's fast. And, like, literally, I would have wanted to target Emmanuel here if I was in the game. It just, you know, it's shit's luck that the elimination just so happens to be the Emmanuel elimination. Like, the one that he will probably beat everyone at that's remaining in this game. But that's the move I would have done. But ultimately, they do pick Logan. Logan's compromised. We get, again, Nelson just going, like, I don't know whether I can still trust Logan. Like, he could end up picking me. But, like, Logan has to just do what's best for his game at this point. So we're now heading into the lair for elimination. And it's time for Logan to pick. And he's saying, like, oh, this is a heartbreaking decision. They're trying to make you believe that he's going to pick Nelson. But he picks his other rookie mate, Emmanuel. It's rookie versus rookie in the lair. Devin's now saved. Nelson's saved. And we get to see the two remaining male rookies compete. One can survive. And it's called Rocket Run, where there is a rocket and two podiums with switches on them. And you have 15 seconds to run, jump over the rocket, hit the lever, back over the rocket, hit the starting lever within that 15-second window. The first person, and they're going to keep going until someone can't make it back in the allotted time. First person to not get back in the allotted time loses and is gone from the game. Other person gets to stay and for a chance to run the final and win the money. I liked this elimination. I liked the brutality of it. Just like, and it's not the brutality of a hall brawl, but it's the brutality of endurance and just what can your body take? Because these weren't like, oh, you run 15 seconds. Okay, you're going to take a minute off and then you're going to run. It was, you did the 15 seconds and hopefully you did it fast enough where you have time to catch your breath, because you're going to go immediately like 2 seconds later.
I'm all about endurance-based eliminations. I think that they're great. Yes, people want to see the headbangers, but I think that it gives both people an opportunity to have a chance to win, because with the headbangers, normally it comes down to who's the bigger person, who has more size. In this situation, it comes down to mentally, can you do it? And physically, can you do it? And we saw it in the elimination. And I think Logan 100% picked the wrong person to go against. And that's Logan's fault. And I know he wants to play that loyal game. But when you're that close to a final, you have to almost do what's best for yourself. And I get it. We might see Logan again in the future. We don't know. But I think he'll think twice next time if he's that close to a final, whether to make that decision.
Right. Like, honestly, I think he beats Nelson and he beats Devin in this elimination, like, soundly. Just because I just think the Logan just has better endurance than – he may not have better endurance than Nelson because Nelson is a tank, but, like, I think Nelson's more clumsy than Logan and could trip up over that rocket a lot sooner than Logan did. And also we have to also factor in that his leg was still not 100%. Yep. So it was only a matter of time that he slipped up. So he was literally just on a wing and a prayer hoping that it was Emmanuel who tripped up first. Because, like, he was still holding his own, and they were going so long that it got to the point where they had to drop it down to 10 seconds, and they were still, like, neck and neck with each other up until he his leg dips and hooks onto the rocket. He falls. He doesn't make it back up in time. He knows he lost, so he doesn't even try to get back up. Emmanuel wins. He says this is what he always dreamed of, being elimination, after 10 minutes earlier saying that he was basically scared to ever go into elimination and wanted to avoid it like the plague. He wanted to avoid it like garlic because he's a vampire. Had to suck Logan's blood.
Of the neck.
He does. Yep. So all ladies, you know that he will do some. He will give you those hickeys. That's for sure.
Oh my god.
He'll give you that middle school romance.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to for me is Logan gave it his all, but ultimately his body gave out. I do think, though, if his leg was 100%, I think he would have held his own there and we could have maybe seen a different result.
I don't think so. I think Emmanuel was winning that regardless. I think Emmanuel was the leaner and more agile of the two. Like, Logan, actually, it was the first time where I noticed, like, Logan was actually a little more, like, not, like, big, but he was bigger than what I remembered him based off when he would stand next to other people. Like, when you put him up next to Emmanuel, he has bigger legs, like, more muscular, but, like, a more of, like, a size muscle, because Emmanuel's also strong. Like, it's just very lean because he's a dancer. And I just think being the dancer and, like, training solely on endurance, being that dancer, you weren't beating Emmanuel. Like, that's just, it is what it is.
You never know. Maybe you'll see a rematch later on down the road, which I would be happy to see. But at the end of the day, you know, you see Logan walk out the door and all of that. And I just want to point out one thing.
Yeah.
Just with the entire situation about everyone talking about Emmanuel playing this great political game and all of that. I truly believe if Logan would have ended up in the cell that Emmanuel was in, and Emmanuel was in the cell that Logan was in, I think Logan is in a way different position and Logan would have thrived even better. And Emmanuel would have gone in so, so much sooner.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's even if he was still hooking up with Tori, but just weren't on the same team. I think there was a lot more likely chance he goes down there. So I agree with you 100%. I think that's a good take. It's more chance than politics for me, because, like, if he wanted his way, Emmy was never going to eliminations. Mm-hmm. Like, but he had no sway. So where's the political game? Like, Devin's the political game for them. Like, Casey and Nani are the political game for them. Amanda's political game. Like, it's, yep, like, he isn't even the most political player on his own team.
Yeah.
In his own gender.
He's not a strategist, in my opinion, because we haven't
not
seen
yet, it. At least. Like, yeah, we can't say he's not a strategist, because, like, he came in second place in their Survivor. We don't know how their Survivor format works. I know it's more jank than any of the other Survivors that are out there, but, like, you can't get second and do absolutely nothing and not be strategic. So I think it's there. I just don't think it's as touted as they're trying to make it sound like it is at the moment. But TJ then like congratulates Emmanuel for his win, and then just says, you can go back up. And everyone's like confused because they're like, they didn't give him an option. What's happening now? Like, are we, is this the final? Like, is this the group? And TJ just goes like, so where are we?
So here's the deal, down to 10.
Yeah, where are we?
We're in the lair.
What do you do at the lair?
Go into elimination, as Flora would right. say.
Yep. You go and you eliminate people. And we're not done tonight. And if I'm Casey and Kyle in his suits, I'm like, what? You couldn't have worn us? Like, I would have not worn a suit down to elimination.
They have their uniforms ready to go on the side.
Yeah, sure. But we learned that start at the beginning of the next episode, two more people are going to be eliminated. A man and a woman are going to be eliminated. And in the preview, we see those two will be deactivated and will be starting the final. We are finally at the end game, folks. I'm very nervous to see who goes based off what I would like say. And we can spend the last couple minutes of the podcast talking about this. Is like from the women's side, who you think's in danger? Who do you think's safe? Guys' side, who do you think's in danger and safe? I'll start with the guys. The safest guys for me, that I feel like they can punch their ticket to the final, that I don't think they really need to be that nervous of whatever it is, and it's CT and Kyle. I think they're good. So we will probably see one of Nelson, Devin, or Emmanuel leave tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week in episode 18. Women's side, Casey is the only one that I'm going to say is 100% secured. I'll probably throw Tori in there as well, depending on what the elimination is. If it's a puzzle, then I take her away. But if it's not a puzzle, she's there too. So I think Nani and Amanda... Nani and Amanda are the ones that are most in danger. Because I Emmy's won 4 eliminations. I can feel like I can say positively she could win a 5th if needed.
So I have a couple takes with this. Obviously, it comes down to what the elimination is. If you're able to select who you would want to go against, obviously, guys, I would maybe pick Emmanuel, depending on what it is, because he just competed, could be really exhausted, mentally fatigued as well. So that would be a good option. So that's why I could see Emmanuel having a good chance of having to compete again. But we don't know, maybe because he won this elimination, he's not eligible to go in and compete again. So
I don't think that's the case.
I'm giving an option. We don't know. We never know. But
saying you can almost assuredly rule that one out, because they're not going to keep him safe just because he happened to have run an elimination and leave everyone else available. Like, he's not going to be the one safe person of 10 people.
I was just giving one scenario.
I'm just giving you a counterpoint.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, I was just saying that is a small sliver of an option. So I would anticipate Emmanuel probably going back in simply because of the fatigue factor and that he just competed, and that would be a good option of someone to go against. Now, here's another thing you have to consider. People are saying that Amanda is on the weaker side and might not perform well in a final. So you have to consider a couple factors with that. They might want to keep Amanda, so then they are competing against Amanda in the finals because she might not be as strong as everybody else. But also you have to think about, Amanda might be someone that people think that they can beat in the elimination format. So it's kind of a hit or miss with that. I think either Amanda goes in or Amanda does not get selected, for the reason being that people think that they can beat her in a final. So I agree, Casey being the safest from the girls, no one's going to want to go against Casey. I also think Emmy is going to be okay, because I don't think anyone is going to want to go against Emmy.
Right. I honestly, I'm going to be absolutely gutted if we lose Amanda again right before the final. I'm not saying that she would win, but I would love to see her actually have a shot at a final just to see what she could do. Because like a lot of stuff that she's not good at, she won't really have to worry about in a final format. So I would be like very much interested to see how she could perform, because I do believe in her abilities, especially when it comes to the actual, I think she can run. I think she can hold her own there. She won't be someone who like ends up walking very shortly after starting, and she's smart. Like, she's going to do well at the checkpoints that require you to actually use your brain. But we'll see. That's what we'll see next week, everyone. So the wrap up, it was an okay episode challenge, like nothing inoffensive, but it's just like, make the seasons a little bit shorter, MTV. We don't need 19 weeks of the challenge. Do an all-star style format and add a couple more episodes than what you do for the all-star format currently. And I think that'd be a home run. So we have, we'll have more challenge coverage as we talk about Challenge All-Stars next Monday at 4:30, episode 4. Episode dropped today on Paramount Plus. So everyone, make sure you watch it over the weekend so that you can come and join us, myself, Lauren, and Johnny, and maybe we'll have some guests throughout the season. I know we do have some guests coming up in the very near future, so you don't want to miss out when that happens. And if you don't want to miss out, click that bell for notifications, click subscribe, press the like button telling us that you enjoyed what we did today. And also, if you want more content and to support Reality NSFW, become a patron at adfreenSFW.com. With that, you can join the secret Facebook page group for all the patrons, as well as Johnny and Matt. And you'll get additional podcasts from the patron side, where Matt and Johnny do a weekly Q&A, where the patrons get to ask questions of literally anything and everything. There's no off limits, and they will answer it. It's their favorite podcast of the week, and they are wrapping up Australian Survivor coverage of Australian Survivor 2018, and soon we'll be covering Australian Survivor 2019, which is also now on Paramount Plus. So you can watch along and watch the podcast in real time with Johnny and Matt. We also have, of course, Survivor's wrapping up. But at both these next two Wednesdays, I will be back doing the Survivor coverage with Matt Bischoff and Johnny Fairplay. The finale, TBD, for sure, I will be there, while Matt and Johnny will be at Cincinnati, Ohio, doing a live viewing party for the finale. I will put the website in the comments section after this episode loads. And Lauren, if you want more Survivor coverage, where can they find it?
Yeah, so I will be back yet again with the Deep Dive podcast with my co-host, Alex Rubino. Right now, we are looking to do Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, and we will be joined by one special guest for sure, but most likely two. And so stay tuned and check that out. It's going to be a good one, that is for sure. And definitely be on the lookout for things that we're going to have going on in the off season of Survivor. So all the content over here at Reality NSFW, you can't miss us.
Yeah. And with that, everyone, cheers. Good night. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue